We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 568 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Ian Hilton, and I know I keep saying it, but this was the biggest match of the season. La Liga, Copa del Rey, Spanish Super Cup, El Clasico, doesn't matter. I don't care about that. All the attention, I think, for culés, and it felt like that too in the stadium today, surely, but this was the biggest match of the season, both from a financial perspective, sure, and then the big European nightmare perspective that just won't go away. This was the match. Making the quarterfinal of the Champions League was built into the budget. Making the quarterfinal of the Champions League felt like the minimum with the team that was assembled at the start of the season, injuries or not. And Barcelona did just that. So that means more Champions League stuff is coming up. And so that you don't miss it, subscribe to the YouTube channel or on the podcast apps. All that helps. Or get the shows without the ads on Patreon. And with that, it's time to talk about the five headlines from Barcelona's 3-1 win over Napoli. Headline one is Mission Osimhen offside. Right from the jump, you could see that Osimhen, with Cubarsí playing as a left center back and not the right center back, and Osimhen being left-footed, he was going to be going right at Cubarsí. Where I was kind of surprised that I thought Xavi was going to have Cubarsí on the right so that he was playing more at his natural right feet, where we've seen him have even more success opening the game up, and then having Araujo on the left with Cubarsí in the middle to help out with those aerial duels coming over. But no, he decided to trust Cubarsí as the left center back to support Cancelo, who would be staying a little bit more at home and only joining the attack when the time is right, as opposed to all the time like Cancelo's instincts might be. This game started from the jump with plenty of buzz, which always worries me when it comes to Barcelona at home, of course, making it a shootout. There was 38 total shots in this game, Barcelona with 24, Napoli with 10, shots on target were 10-4, and Barcelona didn't even win the possession battle. And while those kind of stats don't tell you anything from the grand picture of the contest, certainly from the opening jump, it meant that there was going to be goals. First minute, Lamine Yamal had the first shot, Gundogan won the ball back, and Rafinha played the Rabona. You can't take the Brazilian out of the boots. Third minute, dummy by Rafinha and Politano came back to get it. A good start, though, from Barcelona by even the third minute. Lamine Yamal picked it up on the touchline at midfield and went right at Merino Rui, which was going to be a theme all evening. Merino Rui had no shot against Lamine Yamal, and I actually was a bit surprised that Calzona did not start Matias Oliveira, instead bringing him in off the bench for Merino Rui, a decision that I think Calzona is going to be thinking about tonight. The next attack in the fifth minute by Barcelona saw the 16-year-old immediately doubled from that point on, and there were moments, yes, when it was Merino Rui on an island by himself, but generally, a double was always coming for the 16-year-old. Barcelona, in that early going, the big thing that stuck out was that they were playing the offside trap to a very high level. Twice in the first 7 minutes, and Pau Cubarsí had a tremendous tackle on Osimhen too on the one opportunity when he wasn't offside. Cubarsí, like he has been the last few weeks when he has arguably been Barcelona's best defender, though Koundé has also regained his form to give him a run for his money, but is defending on the front foot like I've talked about on the podcast, and he's also changing his speed to leave Osimhen offside, because Osimhen in a foot race, of course, is quicker than Cubarsí and trying to play in behind him, but by trusting the other three defenders and defending on the front foot, so that means taking a step forward instead of backward and opening up your hips to turn, by just trusting the offside trap, that's how you can have good success with it. And it's successful until it's not. Barcelona also the first team in the Champions League history to have two U18 starters in a knockout match. Lamine Yamal and Pau Gabarsi, who by U18, they're 16, and Gabarsi just turned 17. That tells you how much Barcelona relies on them, and that tells you what a big match it was for them as well. It wasn't just for Barcelona to throw their teenagers out there like Xavi has been relying on them. We know that they're special, sure, but that's a little record that shows you the history of Barcelona not only relying on these young players, but just how essential they are in the biggest match of their careers. Headline 2 is third time's the Fermín charm. 19th minute, a chance from Fermín López, who didn't have to start this match, but he also kind of did because he was the only other midfielder available, and Xavi decided to start Rafinha on the wing instead of João Félix and putting Rafinha in midfield to substitute for Fermín López. And I think Xavi made, obviously he made the right choice, but I also think he made the right choice on paper to play midfielders in the midfield and forwards up on the forward line against Napoli's side that also plays in the 4-3-3. So it's a good mirror, and trusting that in that mirror of that 4-3-3, you had the better players. 9th minute, though, Fermín López too wide with the shot. Gundogan was available, and I do write these moments down to say, oh no, is that going to come back to bite him? And this was the first chance for Fermín López. Moments after that, a foul on Lamine Yamal that wasn't called. No foul called at all for a clip that should have been a yellow card, and Marouane, that could have made the game even worse if he had gone in the book at that moment. 13th minute then, a terrific ball from Gabarsi to Fermín López, running in behind, but his first touch took him to an odd position to take the shot, and Napoli closed him down. That was, I guess if it had been wrong, it would have been strike two, but that was a second chance for Fermín López. Then finally, the 15th minute, Barcelona doing something with possession here. They had already tried to get in behind Napoli, and now they decided to just, with possession, take a breath and make something happen. So 15th minute, Gabarsi to Cancelo to Rafinha, who was running in behind, and Rafinha on the left deciding to be a winger too. Maybe his best move we've seen from him on the left all season, the cutback. Lewandowski let it roll or couldn't get to it. Probably intended for Lewandowski, but Fermín López was making the run into the box. Perfect timing and a ton of space. Nutmegged Juan Jesus on the shot, which confused the goalkeeper and basically passed it into the corner. Still had to be composed, still had to put enough power behind it. Fermín López getting the goal by attacking the depth that Napoli was leaving in by trying to push some of their midfielders forward and then only having that defensive midfielder in Lobotka to try to defend. It was also interesting that Xavi had commended Lobotka as the most dangerous player that Napoli had in the presser yesterday, and for him to be the guy that was kind of leaving that space or unable to track Fermín López on that shot. And Rafinha on the left also getting in behind with Cancelo staying at home. Really good tactics from Xavi. And as I have said throughout the season, Xavi from the jump gets it right so many times. It's the rest of the game and the lack of control and all those things that do make you worry. And that was the story of this game too.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you think of great duos, who do you think of? Jordan and Pippen or LeBron and Dwayne Wade? I mean, I talk about basketball a lot here on this podcast, but for the Barcelona version, there's Piqué and Puyol or Piqué and Mascherano, or the easy example of Xavi and Iniesta. And as you can hear from my voice, the perfect teammates aren't just professional athletes. It's cold season. I guess the flu and cold medicine, perfect teammates as well. But in this case, when it comes to growing your business, that's you and Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. To be honest, I've been doing this show long enough, and as I mentioned, it's cold and flu season. You hear it in my voice, especially during the holiday season. So whenever it comes to this business, anything that I can set up and kind of have working in the background that I know and can trust is just plugging along without my attention. Those are the things that I really value at this point. So when my brain is foggy and all I can do is manage to turn on the microphone, talk to the guest, or just talk to myself and get out a piece of content, everything else, having that all automated or working in the background, that's been important to keeping me sane. And that's the thing about something like Shopify. What I do love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So no matter how big or small, how good of a month or how bad of a month, things are just the same working in the background. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs on every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tbpod, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tbpod now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/tbpod. Headline 3, out and running but not defending. The 2-0, shortly after the first one, 17th minute. Second goal comes on a counterattack. Lamine Yamal flips it over to the defender and he's off to the races. A ton of room and time to make this decision. Other players I might have worried, but no, it's a 16-year-old. I completely trust him to make the right choice, and he does. Plays the ball right into the path of Rafinha, who took one touch and could have scored, but Rafinha hits the post, and the ball bounces perfectly into the path of Cancelo, who was getting forward at the time. Again, picking his spots. Cancelo, a good job getting forward on the counter here. Nothing straightforward about the finish either that Thierry Henry talked about at halftime there. Good job by Cancelo to have the balance to get over the ball, put enough on it to get by the keeper, and put that one right into that pocket in the net. Napoli, by the 25th minute, though, had decided to set up in a medium block. Good tactics by Calzona to try to calm everything down. They also had a little more intensity on the press, so calm everything down defensively and use more energy and aggression moving forward. So they were playing higher themselves. And against that offside trap, they were moving the line of confrontation that you've heard me talk about before up in Barcelona's half of the field, which is not where a scrambly, and you're going to hear me use that or scrambling word quite a bit here for the rest of this 5 headlines, but making Barcelona scramble a little bit more in their own half. So that was the key for them to take back control, that being Napoli, of this game, down 2-0, and use the ball to put some pressure on Barcelona and see if Barcelona would get a bit too excited up 2-0 and leave holes while going for the third. Barcelona didn't leave the holes, but they did cave under the pressure. Romani was a center back who came forward, and Politano, well done to cut it back as Araujo and Cabarsi had both gone to Osimhen at the near post, and Cancelo got beat by Politano. And more importantly, I think, Gundogan didn't track the runner into the box. And it was frustrating that Barca again concede from something that started as a dead ball situation. This was a throw-in. Another time that Barca conceded off a throw-in, and that has not been a good enough area under Xavi. So at this point, it's game on, I guess. Di Lorenzo is going to be up tonight thinking about that header that could have made it 2-2, but Ter Stegen made a necessary glove save, and you do need at least one of those in every Champions League match from your goalkeeper. You do need one that keeps you in it. Mauro Borré with the fine delivery. Nearing halftime, Barcelona were a little lighter on the press as legs got heavy. That means that you need to win the second ball then and stay close to the attackers. And I thought it was a really good job nearing halftime by Cubarsí and Koundé not to allow the Napoli attackers to turn, and a good job as the half was coming to an end by Gundogan with some clever ball retention to keep calm in Barca's half, including getting fouled. Picking up those fouls like that in your own half of the field, that gives you a minute to breathe and get to the halftime whistle. Plus, Rafinha winning those two corners took time off the clock too. Headline 4, that Barca in Europe feeling. Even up 2-1 at halftime, I had the same pit in my stomach that you did if you're a culé. And if you're just watching or listening to this as a neutral, yes, all Barcelona fans are nervous. Even up at home, 2-1, doesn't matter who it's against if it's in Europe. It was a good start for Napoli in the second half too, which kind of made that pit feel a little more like an ulcer. Napoli were winning the aerial duels and they were winning possession. Nervy moment, Osimhen went down against Cubarsí. They decide that it was just 50-50 contact, and I know you're going to see this image on social media a million times over by everyone who's not a Barcelona fan, saying that it was definitely a foul, saying this is where the contact was, did not get the ball. He also might have been offside anyway, And I know this isn't the rule. If the referee had stopped it to look at it, that means that he could have been offside at that point. But they said that it wasn't enough contact anyway to even look if he was offside, which he probably was. So there's two different versions of I don't want to hear about it. But still, the scrambling Barca defense started on the back foot in the second half, worrying signs. Fortunately, Barcelona, I thought, took back possession there around the 52nd, 53rd minute to the point where I said to myself, oh yeah, Napoli do need two goals to win this game, and Barca need the next 35 minutes to expire. But this is Barcelona in Europe, Dan, so it's still time to worry. So I did go back to tapping my foot like that rabbit thumper from Bambi, just bam, 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 underneath my desk. 60th minute subs, Fermín López off for Sergio Roberto, and it was another good game for Fermín López. I told you going back a week and a half against Athletic Club when he came on in the first half for the injured midfielders, and he played the worst game he'd had in a Barcelona uniform in the first team at that point. He felt it. He was frustrated by it, enough that Xavi even spoke about it in the presser. And yet to come out against Mallorca, to feel like he responded a bit, and then to respond with a goal and a good performance here too, that it wasn't just the eye test. Fermín López was good today against Napoli. Other than the goal, he also had two key passes. He was 2 for 3, accurate with his long balls, 1 successful dribble, 5 of 7 on his ground duels. If you're going to ask him to be a midfielder, he's got to win those duels, and he did. He didn't commit a single foul. He was fouled twice, 1 clearance, 1 interception, 2 tackles, and 5 ball recoveries. He was working his butt off, and he wasn't leaving that space in behind. Great job by Fermín López today. Plus, Ordu Romeu came on for Christensen, who I think is still dealing with that discomfort. Can't go the full 90. We've talked about it before. And Roberto hasn't played in about 2 months, and Romeu hasn't been trusted in 2 months. So this was big moments for them too. And I know there's supposed to be the experienced old heads, but those are big moments for them. 63rd minute, Barcelona scrambling again. Cancelo, an insane header back across his net, and Barca throwing bodies to block it. Still so nervous in their own end, as you got the best with the goal of Cancelo, and also pretty positionally sound today, but then the worst of Cancelo in those bang-bang moments where he wasn't able to close down on the cross from Politano, and then here the header across his own goal. What are you thinking there? This is also a moment, too, where Koundé, I'm just watching Koundé. There was a minute or two when they're passing it around, and Koundé had one move where he dribbled through that press and then made the right choices. Koundé was phenomenal on the night as well, regaining that good form. It seemed like he really had hit a rock bottom, and he has since responded in the 3 to 4 weeks since then. Lamine Yamal also called offside after the corner kick is put in. Lewandowski won the header. Roberto did well to put it in. Araujo stretched to it, but Lamine Yamal was offside. Still, Barcelona attacking. And yes, they were missing De Jong and Pedri, but as Barcelona were fighting for control and needed to win this match, this was a moment where I really was missing Gabi. And again, it's no disrespect to Roberto or Romeu, but I would love to see Gabi on in this game to close it out, and does make you feel like, what if Barcelona were in the same circumstance with De Jong, with Pedri, and with Gabi? But you can't cry about the what-ifs. Gundogan got a good shot to force a save, wrapping his leg around it. Lewandowski missed the follow-up and failed to control the subsequent corner. But still, I thought Lewandowski put in a shift, didn't make it all about himself, didn't whine, just wanted to get the team results. So Lewandowski, even though those were two bad moments, I thought he was good in this game, and he deserved the goal that you know we're going to talk about. 78th minute, Lamine Yamal, another miss too, just wide of the goal. Well played to the chest to him by Gundogan, who just had a very quiet but solid game. The duel originally won in midfield by Roberto. And right after, Lindstrom, we want to talk about nightmares, missing the header. Ter Stegen was beaten. Cancelo was beaten. Barcelona was beaten. But enough luck for Barcelona, which is also part of the game. So luck was on their side tonight. 81st minute, João Félix on for Rafinha. Rafinha or Lamine Yamal, who is keeping the ball better? Who are you going to take off? I wouldn't play Lamine Yamal for the next, I'm not kidding, 2 or 3 weeks. I don't want to see him against Atletico Madrid. I don't want to see him until maybe even El Clasico. Just leave him on the bench for a while. I don't want to see Lamine Yamal. Or next time for Europe, I guess we'll say. You know the answer, though, as to why Rafinha came off for Lamine Yamal at that moment.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And then headline 5, biggest win of the season, 83rd minute, throw-in for Barcelona. So yes, they conceded on the throw-in, but I'm glad they made up for it, scoring on the throw-in. Roberto to Gundogan, beautiful through ball back to Roberto, the square ball for Lewandowski, and that's it. This, to me, I felt like from the 60th minute on, I know Roberto gets his criticism. I don't think he should probably be in the team next year. Does he really add enough as a 25th player? Is he really adding enough in the locker room to be a captain? I'm not sure about all the things off the field. Obviously, I'm not there. But at least on this night, and I think in general, he doesn't complain. He's injured a lot, sure. But he's accepted the role that Xavi has for him. He's the first captain for FC Barcelona. He's still at home where he's always been. Finally, he played like an experienced captain tonight. Good job by him. The dude shows up in Europe. Sometimes he does. I know he's been there for a long time, and it's not a great sample size as far as the percentages, but years from now, all we'll have is just the memories, and there's a lot of memories of Sergio Roberto celebrating in Europe. Kvaratskhelia in stoppage time could have made it interesting for a moment, but it wasn't to be, and Barcelona held on. The big picture will definitely be talked about on tomorrow's podcast with Pablo Wolves Blanco, but this was, without hyperbole, the biggest win of the season. I don't think it was the biggest win of Xavi's tenure. I still think you could have picked one of the wins from the Liga last year or the Spanish Super Cup against Real Madrid. I know it's just a minor trophy and maybe, yeah, Champions League round of 16 win is as important as the Spanish Super Cup. I think it is, at least to neutrals or anybody who might be watching. So for Xavi, I think this was a big success for him. As I said, without hyperbole, the biggest win of at least this season. It was the job he had to do before leaving, was to get to the quarterfinal. Financially, Barcelona needed it. And just like all the negative failures in Europe the last few seasons, we're going to pay negative dividends. And you hear about it months down the road and say, well, Barcelona don't have the budget for this or that because this happened. Just getting this job done was so necessary, so essential for Xavi and the club that he loves so much in FC Barcelona, looking into the future past when he's no longer manager. As I said, podcast tomorrow. So look out for that on the YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast. Or without the ads on Patreon. Close Facebook group, Discord, that's how you be a part of the community. And most importantly, thanks so much for listening, whether Barcelona winning the Champions League or they're out in whatever, the quarterfinal of the Copa del Rey. Thank you for always being with me. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. And Forza Barca.